We've just been singing in the Lord, rejoice in the fact that we can gather with God's people this morning. Rejoice because of the riches that we have in Christ. Rejoice in the untold blessings that you have provided for us in and through the person and work of Christ. And Father, we pray today that you'd be gracious and help us to learn some lessons from this Old Testament man. And surely we have much to learn, and we could pattern our lives after some of the things that took place in his life. And so, Father, as we look at the life of Joseph, we see difficulties and struggle, a lot of struggle at times. And Father, help us to understand that's kind of our lot in life as we walk through this wicked, sin-cursed earth. But help us to rejoice in the Lord, even though things around us might not always be great. Our hope is in Christ. And the song that we sang this morning also reminding us of the coming of Christ. Some glorious daybreak, Jesus will come. Amen. And so, Father, we rejoice in that fact. He will come. We don't know when, but we know he will come. Until then, help us to be watching and waiting, because the scripture says that unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Help us to keep looking and watching and waiting till he comes and calls us home. We'll praise and thank you now, Father, for that which you'll do. We want to serve you faithfully. We want to serve you because of love for you. Help us to do that, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. Now, we can't read all of the verses that take up with the life of Joseph. I'll say that now ahead of time. And so it will sound a little bit jumpy at times in the message, possibly. Okay? Please bear with when that happens, because we're trying to look at the whole story if we can. And we'll see how far we get. So we'll start reading in Genesis chapter 37 with verses 1 to 4. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So we have in the introduction of these four verses that Joseph worked with his brothers. He was young. He was 17 years old at this particular time in his history. And as he reported the work of his brothers back to his father, the report wasn't always good, and obviously that wouldn't make the brothers look very good. But he was and you'll discover that, and one advantage, we already know the story of Joseph, so we're just kind of reviewing. One thing you notice about Joseph, he had a good head on his shoulders. He had the ability to see success, failure, and he was motivated with God's help to be a successful man. And that's what he turned out to be in his life. So being an honest man, and though he's young, we would call him a young entrepreneur type of a person, he saw when his brothers weren't doing well, and he told his father. The second thing that happens in the life of Joseph in verses 3 and 4 isn't very good. Not very good for Joseph, and doesn't look very good on Father Jacob as well. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. We have in the story this morning the story of 12 sons. And when one of the 12 is loved more than the other 11, not a good sign. Not good. And that's going to cause some troubles. And then to make matters a little bit worse, Jacob makes his son a coat of many colors, something special for his favorite son. Again, not a good thing. Caused Joseph a lot of problems. And you find out in verse number 4, because of his father's favoritism toward him, his brothers hated him. And that's exactly what this favoritism produces. Then the verses that follow, we'll not read just now, Joseph has two dreams. And he tells his dreams to his brothers. And in his dreams, they have the picture of his brothers bowing down to him. And of course, that would make his brothers hate him more again. Things are looking not so great for Mr. Joseph. And then Jacob, he sends his sons out to feed the flocks, and they have a lot of assets. They have a lot of flocks and herds, and so they get sent quite a ways away from home base. And Joseph is sent then to see how they're doing and to bring Dad a report back. So we'll start reading again in verse 18 of our text. And when they saw him, that is Joseph, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. So here we see the progression of hatred. How strong can hatred become? And where does hatred lead? And they hated him. Now they want to slay him. What a desperate, wicked act on their part. Verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. That's what they would say to their dad. Some evil beast devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hand to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph came unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And we'll stop reading there for just a minute. So the 10 brothers now, they come up with a plan how they're going to get rid of Joseph. And with their plan, they have to have a way to explain his disappearance and his supposed death. So they take his coat of many colors, and they dip it in the blood of a goat, and they send a message back to their dad that Joseph was killed by some wild beast, and we found his coat, and surely he's dead. And then let's read on in chapter 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. So we just saw that he was sold, how he comes into Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. So from being the wealthy favorite son of his father, and now all of a sudden he finds himself being a slave. What a humiliation. Now, one thing that we want to look at as we look at the life of Joseph, there are dozens of instances where the things that happened to Joseph were the very same type of things that happened to Jesus. So we want to notice that as we go along. So if we want to stop for just a minute at this point and picture, as Joseph left a place of plenty and the luxury of his father's house, he now finds himself a slave. What a picture of the person of Christ when he took a body of flesh and came to this earth and became like a slave and was subject to human hands in many ways. So we have in the life of Joseph. But let's read on in chapter 39, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now we want to stop at this point and look at the life of Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord made all that he did to prosper. What a powerful thing that Joseph had going for him. The Lord with him. Does the Lord with a person make a difference? And what difference does the Lord make in the life of a person? That statement, the Lord was with, was repeated a number of times in Genesis and following. For example, the Lord was with Abraham in Genesis 21. The Lord was with Isaac in Genesis 26. The Lord was with Jacob in Genesis 28. And you come on further on in the life of Samuel, and the Lord was with Samuel. And the Lord was with David in 1 Samuel 16 and 18. The Lord is with his people. So the question is the Lord with his people today? It's obvious we understand, according to the scripture, that the Lord is unchanging. He never changes. He's always the same. And as the Lord worked powerfully and graciously with his Old Testament people, he's promised to do the very same with his New Testament people, and that's us, New Testament Bible-believing people. The Lord is with us. What difference does it make in the life of a person when the Lord is with him? We will see that pictured in a very powerful way in the life of Joseph. With Joseph, things were once very good and very easy as a 17-year-old young man. But life, realistically, is not always easy. You've already experienced that. Young or old, we already are aware of that. Life isn't always easy. But the very important thing for us to remember, let's never forget that the Lord is with his people. He's promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. You can count on that because that is what the Lord has said. And his word is true. So regardless of what you and I might ever find ourselves going through and working with, we have to remember, being God's people, the Lord is with us. I'm reminded of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord is speaking to Joshua. And here's what he says to him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The reason we're looking at that verse, the Lord with Joseph made Joseph prosperous, even though he was a slave in Potiphar's house. Life doesn't have to be ideal and everything perfect for us to be conscious of the Lord with us. And so God promised Joshua he would be with him and he would prosper him. But there was a condition. What was the condition? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. In other words, Joshua, you have the Pentateuch. That is the first five books of the Bible. You have them. Read them. Study them. Live them. And I will be with you and prosper you. Like he did Joseph, a slave in Potiphar's house, later on in prison. It didn't matter. Because Joseph had a real walk with the living God. The Lord was with Joseph. And when the Lord is with his people, the circumstances around us may not be ideal. Circumstances really don't matter that much. When the Lord is with us, we can succeed irregardless of how great the trial. Let's not forget that. Moving on, in verse number 4, Genesis 39. And Joseph found grace in this in his sight, that is, in Potiphar's sight. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had, he put in his hand. Now, imagine this. Joseph served Potiphar. Emphasis on the word served. If a person finds himself in the condition that Joseph's in, you have a couple of options. You can begrudgingly be a slave and serve your master and hate every day of it. You can do that. You can do that. You can go to work every Monday and dislike your job and the boss, and you can go through life like that. You can do that. You have a choice to do that if you want to do that. Joseph was not that kind of a man. Joseph, first of all, recognized God was with him. And God being with him, he was going to serve his God first of all, and in serving his God, he would serve his master faithfully. And so Joseph served his master. He did everything he could to prosper and promote his master. He gave 100% of his time and his energy to try and make his master prosper, even though he was a heathen man. There's lessons here for you and me. There's things here to learn. Another thing. Joseph at this particular time didn't cry and complain about his lot in life. He could have, because his lot in life was not very good. Let me read you from Psalm 105, a little addition to Joseph's life, beginning with verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, and he brake the whole staff of bread. And he sent a man before him, before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. Now listen to this. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him. How about that? Here's Joseph living part of his time in leg irons. Not an easy life, but he gave his life to the service of his master. Let's read on in verse number 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer over in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. How about that? God blesses this pagan man. Because there's a godly servant in his workforce. God blesses. Amazing how God's blessing follows God's people, and even the people around God's people might experience blessing because of God's people. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So Joseph brought blessing to his master's house. Question. What do you bring to the workplace where you work? Joseph brought blessing. What do you bring? Nah, I don't like my boss. I don't like what I'm getting paid. I don't like the people I work with. I don't like whatever. Not Joseph. Joseph served God first of all. Secondly, he served his master. And he even brought a blessing to his master. Amazing. Let's read on. And it came to pass in verse 7. That after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not all that all is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Another interesting point. Had Joseph succumbed to the temptation that was offered to him, it would have been a sin, first of all, primarily, against God. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. Now here is a major test in a young man's life. Why didn't Joseph succumb to the test? Who would have known? His dad back home wouldn't have known. His brothers wouldn't have known. All the people he knew wouldn't have known. But who would have known? God. And what mattered most of all, God would have known. God would have seen. And Joseph refused to sin against God. All sin, primarily and first of all, is against God. Let's read on. I think we're in verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left with his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand that he and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, and it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home. Verse 17. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph. Potiphar's wife destroyed his reputation. And as a result, Joseph lost everything. In 1 hour, his whole life again is turned upside down. Some interesting things about Joseph's story at this point. Joseph didn't fight back. Remember what I said at the beginning? We want to look at parallels from the life of Christ. Remember when Jesus was accused? Just before Calvary, he didn't fight back. Joseph, to this point, had been nothing but absolute great servant, upright in all his work with his master. It's kind of interesting that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, flee youthful lust. Isn't that interesting? The Bible also teaches in another place, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Contrast. There are times when you should flee. There are times when you should stand and resist the devil. When it comes to sexual sins, the Bible says, run. Run. In other times of testing, stand. Stand in the power of God. Stand. Let's read on verse 19. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. In other words, Potiphar got super angry now. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, that place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. Notice verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, that is Joseph, that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So here we have Joseph in prison. First a slave in Potiphar's house. Now he's a prisoner. And he finds himself in a place where things are looking worse, right? Being a slave in Potiphar's house would have been a nice house, would have been a nice place. But now, he's in jail. Not a good place. It's described as a dungeon. Not a good environment. The worst of people are there. The enemies of the state are there. And there's Joseph at the very bottom of the lowest possible point he could be in his life again. But notice in verse 21. What's happening in verse 21? And the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him. Why was the Lord with him? Because the Lord never forsakes his children, irregardless of where they find themselves, irregardless of the troubles and trials they may be having to go through, the Lord was with him. How much difference does it make when we are conscious of this fact? The Lord is with us. If you could picture yourself as being a slave sold into Egypt, away from your father's house and everybody that you knew, to seemingly have to live the rest of your life alone in obscurity, if you're conscious of this fact that the Lord is with you, that's all you need. And then another step down for Joseph, as if the devil is working, is attempting to destroy this young man's life. If we could picture the devil, first of all, using Potiphar's wife in an attempt to get Joseph to sin so that the hand of his God might not be upon him any longer. The devil doesn't succeed. So the devil goes to plan B. If we can get him in jail, we can destroy him there. But even in prison, Joseph found this fact to be true, that the Lord was with him. If you don't learn another thing from this hour, learn this. Be reminded of this, that being a child of God, the Lord is with you. Don't forget that. As the devil attempted to drive a wedge between Joseph and his God using Potiphar's wife, and he failed, so the devil will try to drive a wedge between you and the Lord, not using Potiphar's wife, but you replace Potiphar's wife with something else. The devil tries to separate God's people from their God and His Word and the promises of His Word. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Remember that? As the devil works to attempt to drive a wedge between you and God in this day and hour, stay with the Word. The Bible, the Word of God, represents the very person of God, represents His very presence. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 1. The Bible is the living Word, the living representation of God. Don't ever allow the Word of God to be sidelined in your life in any way. Daily spend time in the Word of God. God wants to bless His people. God wants to bless you. And the greatest blessing you can experience today is not something financial, is not great health, is not a great job, is not having everything going your way. That is not the greatest blessing in this day and hour for God's people. The greatest blessing is this, knowing, number one, knowing, number two, being conscious of the Lord with you. In the day and hour in which we live, we do not want some imaginary God somewhere up in heaven, somewhere up there, floating around doing some good at some times and whatever. We don't want that. We want to know what Joseph knew when he was sold as a slave and headed off to Egypt. He knew one thing had not changed in his life, and that was God in his life. That was constant. He could trust God in his life. And so the Lord blessed him with a seemingly good place to work in Potiphar's house. But the devil tried to set him up to destroy him. Beware, beware, because the devil may try to set you up in some way to hinder you in your walk with God, to drive a wedge between the Lord and you having fellowship with Him, and then if he's successful in some way, you no longer being conscious of the very presence of God, you kind of live like God is some imaginary being somewhere. Don't go there. God is a real being. Christ, a real person. The Holy Spirit, a real power, living in, working through God's people. You and I, being God's people, empowered by God's Spirit, can be successful as we live the Christian life in this day and hour, irregardless of whatever might come our way. Let's travel on. Let's go to chapter 41, I think. We'll not read the verses that describe Joseph's thing in prison. While he's there, two men have a dream. They work for the Pharaoh. One was his butler and one was his baker. These two men have a dream in one night, and they tell Joseph their dream. And Joseph interprets their dream. And exactly according to Joseph's interpretation, the dream comes to pass. Interesting that Joseph asked the butler, when you're reinstated to the Pharaoh, put in a good word for me and try and get me out of this prison. Of course, the butler forgets and Joseph stays in prison. So we'll start reading in Genesis 41, verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt. Now, I should have mentioned here, to give background to that, Pharaoh has some dreams, okay? Pharaoh had two dreams. And as a result of his dreams, we pick up in verse 8, and it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he, and we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard, and he told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, so did he. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored to mine office, and him to his, and he was hanged. And Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him hastily into the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. And I have heard saying of thee that thou canst understand the dream and interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. It is not in me, Mr. Pharaoh. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So the dream then is told and described as the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine that will follow. And let's drop down to verse 24 of our chapter. And I told this to the magicians, he rehearses the story to Joseph, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one, and God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Drop down to verse 28. This is the thing that I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showed unto Pharaoh. Behold, there came 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. Verse 32, And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So what can we learn from this? I'd like to give you a verse from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, and it says this, The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Point being made in Proverbs 21, 1. Who's in control of the king? The Lord is in control. Let's review. Who was in control of Joseph's life? The Lord was in control. The Lord was working out a plan. And in the Lord's plan, Joseph had to be sold into Egypt. Joseph had to become a slave in the Lord's plan. And then the situation with Potiphar's wife, and then Joseph's victory. Again, it showed the Lord powerful, gracious to a young man. Joseph in prison. Again, the Lord is working out a plan. In chapter 39, Potiphar's wife seemingly is sent by the devil to destroy Joseph. In chapter 40, it's the prison. But God is gracious. Let's notice again the process in Joseph's life. first a slave, then a leadership position in Potiphar's house, then the situation with Potiphar's wife, and jail. And in jail, he interprets two dreams, and then a leadership position in jail. And now he stands before Pharaoh, interpreting the dreams, and he recommends a plan going forward. What do you see here in this story? What do you see? What do you see? Is God able to take a young 17-year-old who has seemingly committed his life to the Lord and make something out of him? Can you see that? But in the process of God making a man, the man has to go through some very difficult tests and trials. You and I know this, as we know the Bible. God tests each one of his servants, right? Do you agree with that? Biblical fact. God tests and tries each one of his servants. Why? Doesn't he know how we're going to respond to tests and trials? Doesn't he know? Of course he knows. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows it all. But who doesn't know? We don't know. And when we are tested, and when we are tried, we discover how weak or how strong we are. We discover. Question. As you look back at your life to this point in your history, what have you discovered about your life so far? Whether you're a teenager or you're an old person, what have you discovered about your life so far? Can I help you with that? You've discovered at times you're very weak, and sometimes you fail, and sometimes you fall. You've discovered that. But you know the next thing you've discovered? That as you purpose to continue to walk with God, God is so gracious. God is so loving. God is so kind. God is so long-suffering. He was prepared to work with you through your times of failure and weakness. And he was prepared to walk with you in spite of your weakness, in spite of your failure. And he still wants to make you strong and use you to be a light where you live and where you work. God could use Joseph as a light. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God wants to do that with you, exactly like he did with Joseph. Watch the plan. Watch the pattern. Here's a young man, good walk with his God. And many a struggle and test and trial came to his life. Before he ever stands before Pharaoh, 13 years, emphasis, 13 years, stressful, difficult, and obviously some blessings. When he has a leadership role in Potiphar's house, obviously a major turn, and things were good for him, till he winds up in jail. And even there, he says, "God, I'm going to make my life count for you. God, as I served Pharaoh faithfully, I'm going to represent you faithfully in this jail." And it doesn't seem to take very long. And Joseph, being a prisoner, is in charge of the other prisoners. How is that? How is that? Because here's a man who's committed to walk with God, and God will use. And God wants to do the very same thing in your life and mine, to His glory. May we allow Him to. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We praise and thank You for the lessons learned from the life of Joseph. And we pray, Father, that we, like Joseph, might learn and be found faithful. That we might be strong in the very same God that worked with Joseph is the very same God that works with us. And Father, we thank You for Your goodness and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.